Hello, welcome to the Rebel Room post-game podcast. Ryan Green, Christine Killemeyer, coming to you from beautiful Albuquerque, New Mexico. A little chilly tonight. Didn't seem to bother UNLV as the Rebels erase all kinds of streaks.
It bothered me.
That's true. You were outside the whole time.
I'm a big baby. My hands are a little tingly. I would not have been able to make it to 270 career receptions if I were Ryan Wolf. My hands were cold.
But he did.
He did. He is phenomenal.
And that is why, in the words of a good friend of ours, that is why he's a great one.
He is a great one.
And Ryan Wolf setting some career marks. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But UNLV 34-17 victorious over New Mexico tonight in Albuquerque, improving to 3-5 on the season. Their first Mountain West win. But let's get the streaks out of the way. First time, UNLV snaps a 20-game road losing streak in conference play, which was the longest in the nation coming in. They snap a 16-game losing streak in games in October.
Yeah, they hadn't won a game in October since 2005.
Sanford's first year.
Right. It was 2004 since they'd won a road conference game, not under Sanford, under John Robinson. I was in college.
I was too.
I
was in the final semester. I hadn't even thought of it that way.
If we were still in college, none of these guys were in college. If you look at it, the only person that wears Rebel Red currently on this football team that had won a conference road game prior to tonight was Coach Bradison.
Wow. That's something to think about, huh?
How's that for perspective?
Did the players even have driver's licenses back then?
I don't think a good chunk of them did. I would be shocked if more than 50% of this team had been able to drive.
On the flip side, let's put this win in context. Right. This did come against New Mexico, who has now lost 11 games in a row dating back to last season, and let's be honest, probably won't win the one the rest of this year.
Yeah, they're abhorrent, I think, is the word that comes to mind with this team. It's bad.
And it's funny because, after the game we were looking up, seeing all their bowl appearances and on the base of the scoreboard. I mean, since 2000, they'd had four or five bowl appearances.
It was just 2 years ago. This was like
when they won
team.
The New Mexico Bowl.
And then Donovan hurts his knee, and the Lobos go into a tailspin.
Because they were bad last year when they came to Sam Boyd Stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Clawson had a good game that game last year against
them.
Did. Keep their what would have been bowl hopes alive at that point last year.
So that's two in a row for UNLV over New Mexico. Again, UNLV improves to 3-5, and let's talk about the themes from this one. And really, it was the Dr. Jekyll to the Mr. Hyde that has been UNLV the last few weeks. You know, they've been bad in the red zone. They've been turning the ball over. They've been atrocious against the ground game on defense, and all three phases they were stellar tonight.
I mean, one thing I definitely think needs to be pointed out is, I mean, we can talk ad nauseum about how wonderfully wondrous and great Ryan Wolf is, and Omar Clayton starting to look like Omar Clayton of last year. But that defense, I was thoroughly impressed. They actually, got after the quarterback. I mean, Beauchamp had a great game. Mm-hmm. He had a really great game, and unfortunately it's going to be overshadowed by Ryan Wolf. And then Teveseo, got after the quarterback, got two, a couple tackles for loss. And I really think this defense actually had, considering it was New Mexico's, stellar offense, you would have to think that they would have a good game. But
you got to get fat and happy against somebody. And,
exactly.
You mentioned Jason Beauchamp. He had 9 tackles, 3 for loss, 2 sacks, giving him a career high 5.5 this season. Also had a forced fumble. And then Martin Teveseu, that he had one of UNLV's 4 sacks, and it's worth mentioning an inspirational sack because he spent the rest of the week at home in the Bay Area following the death of his 19-year-old sister who was killed in a car accident last weekend. So a good pick-me-up to the end of an awful personal week for Teveseu.
And our thoughts and prayers go out to his family.
Absolutely. The defense held New Mexico to 68 yards rushing, which is a season best for the Rebels. And, look. New Mexico was not that good running the ball coming in, but you know what? It's amazing what you can do to an opposing offense when you take the run game out. You force an opposing quarterback to beat you, and Donovan Porteri is not a bad quarterback. I mean, this is a guy who 2 years ago, before tearing up that knee like you mentioned, was one of the young, up-and-coming stars in the Mountain West.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, some of this victory is probably going to have an asterisk by it because of the sheer fact that it was New Mexico. But a win is a win is a win, and you got to take that and roll with it, I guess, is the way to look at it.
And, you know, when you look back and think on it for UNLV, you know, it's a reason to leave a locker room smiling. It's a reason to have a happy, joking plane ride back to Las Vegas. It's something to hang your hat on. I bet you the last thing a lot of those guys are thinking about is the fact that it was New Mexico, even though for us,
right,
it's really one of the first things we think about.
And I guarantee you all of the fans will be pointing that out.
Oh, of course.
Granted, a bunch of them already have. I mean, because, hey, for some of you out there, there's no winning with you. Like, really, yeah, there really is no winning with you. So just the glass is half full.
But, yeah, and you know, I mean, the Mike Sanford job security questions might be on hold for about 2 days, but I'm sure they'll be back next week.
I don't even really, like, I feel like we're beating a dead horse with the Mike Sanford job security questions. It's evident that nothing is going to happen during the season.
Yep.
Just accept it, deal with it, and move on with your life until after November 28th when they play San Diego State at Sam Boyd. And then you can bring it up.
It's pretty safe to say nothing will happen before December 4th when that clause kicks in. So, but you mentioned Ryan Wolf a couple times, and he really was the story of this game. UNLV's senior receiver, 11 catches, 118 yards, and a touchdown. In a lot of ways, a ho-hum night for Wolf, but with his fourth catch of the night, a 6-yard reception off a swing pass from Omar Clayton in the second quarter. It was career catch number 263, which made him the all-time career leader receptions in the Mountain West Conference, and you know, that's a record that stood for 7 years, so not an easy feat to accomplish. And he's in the top 20 now and all-time leading receivers in NCAA history. This is a, you know, a night to really look back on what's been a stellar career, even though the wins and losses have been a little lopsided the wrong way for him.
Yeah, but I mean, he doesn't, it's not even going to stop there. I mean, he added on to it. He's already up to 270 now, mm-hmm. Coming out of this game. And
230 is realistic.
Exactly. Yep. I,
or I mean, 300.
Yes. But it's, I think that would be a great way for him to end his career as a Rebel, is to get to hit that 300 mark in career receptions.
He's certainly going to have a chance, because, you know, especially if the offense holds up like it did tonight, and when we say that, we mean they were efficient. You know, the first two drives of the game, they go downfield and score touchdowns, 20 plays, 140 yards between the two drives, and they look good. And Omar Clayton was at the center of that, going 20 of 30 for 204 yards, two touchdowns, but most important, and he even pointed this out after the game, no interceptions. And
yeah, he even made a joke about it. He's like, I finally stopped throwing picks.
Yeah.
I mean, so as much as Rebel fans have been frustrated by it, I mean, he's been just as frustrated by it. And he and Wolf and he and Philip Payne were all just meshing really well together throughout the game. And there were some, Payne had pretty good, a couple good grabs too, that also are overshadowed by Wolf's amazingness. But we're just going to go on and on. Basically, this whole thing is going to be about how Ryan Wolf is awesome.
Yeah,
is the moral of the story.
That's kind of the caption. That's kind of I guess, the overlying theme of this season.
Right.
When everything else goes bad, Ryan Wolf is pretty awesome.
Ryan Wolf,
because everything else has gone pretty bad.
Yeah.
But Ryan,
and the thing is, an accomplishment like this really could not happen to a better person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many Rebel fans get to interact with him. I mean, he does so many things for the community. Is always willing, you know, to do anything. Is just an upstanding, good guy. I've never heard a bad word spoken about him, and he just quietly goes about his business, just doing what he's got to do.
It's funny, he was quiet until his last catch of the night when he had that 14-yard grab over the middle where...
that grab was pretty
sweet. Third and 10, it was, you know, Mike Sanford said it was maybe one of the best he's seen from him, and he's made a lot of good ones, but a diving catch over the middle while guarded. He gets up, and he was screaming and yelling and throwing his arms around, and... You know, we asked him about it afterwards, and he said, you know, he didn't know what that was. He said maybe it was just letting out the frustration of what's really been these last 4 weeks for this team after a promising start.
I mean, I think you're allowed to get a little pumped up about a catch like that. I mean, that was a very – I don't know how many of you were actually paying attention to that. If not, it'll be in my video. Check out my video. I had a really good shot of him making that really sweet catch.
Las Vegas Sun.com.
Right,
Rebels,
yeah. Right. So, but yeah,
I'm
that
looking
was
forward a, to seeing that one because I saw it from about 300 feet away.
That was a good. I mean, he had, like, if I looking back on the little bit that we've been able to cover Ryan Wolf, I remember him having some pretty spectacular catches in the San Diego State game last year, and holding on to it after taking some lickings. This one, he didn't really have any defenders around him, but he just laid out for it, and just, I mean, it's quintessential Ryan Wolf. Like, I will give up everything about my body to do whatever I can to help this team. And I mean, I think that's the most I've seen him really smile too. Like, yeah. I mean, this entire team was genuinely happy to have a win, you know, snap the 4-game losing streak, snap the 20-game abysmal whatever.
Yep.
And
the win made a good night great for him.
Exactly. Yeah. I guarantee you, if they had lost, he would not have cared. He probably barely would have talked about the fact that he, you know, broke the record, which would have been unfortunate. So it's a good thing that this all played out as well as it did.
And his touchdown, a 28-yard catch, was the only UNLV touchdown that came from outside of the red zone. UNLV was 5 of 6 in the red zone with 3 TDs and 2 field goals. That had been an area of concern for them of late, too, after being so good a year ago.
And the five of the missed red zone chance was when they took the knee at the end, decided not to run up the score on the Lobos.
It was the mercy flush.
Exactly.
So it's a good thing Ryan Wolf got it in a win this week, because let's spin this forward, because next week, if he was going for it, he might be a little disappointed, because let's be honest, UNLV facing by far its toughest challenge of the 2009 season next week, when it will head down to Fort Worth, Texas, to face number 8, which is sure to change over the course of this week, TCU, who went up to Provo and introduced itself to those around the country who hadn't seen the Horned Frogs yet. 38-7 was never
except
close.
It didn't introduce itself to those that don't have the mountain.
Those who have DirecTV, like,
yeah,
you.
Yeah, who have... Oh, don't get me started on this whole deal between DirecTV and Versus, but anyway.
38-7 at BYU. ESPN Game Day was there today. Some national exposure on it, even if the game wasn't seen by the entire country. But, you know, this TCU team, it's funny. We were talking to Mike Sanford earlier in the year, and he was looking back on the 08 season, and he said the one game that UNLV was really never a part of was that 44-14 loss to TCU, and that was very true, because that game was quintessential TCU. They imposed their will on you with stifling defense, and then they just blind you with speed on the offensive side of the ball, and they do it better than most teams in the country, no matter what conference they're in.
I mean, we were talking earlier today, both of us coming from Big 12 North country. I mean,
yeah.
TCU could easily be dominating a Big 12 North. You know, they should be... almost, you feel like they should be in an automatic qualifying conference, and it's I mean, they're helping get that Mountain West Conference name out there, helping keep this conference on the map, keep going what Utah had started last season and
potentially back-to-back years with a BCS berth from this conference,
and possibly BCS victory depending on where they get seated and such. But
yeah, TCU, not only the best team in this league, but one of probably the top 5 teams overall in the country right now. And after beating BYU, they have 5 games left, and really their only test remaining is Utah, who is a little shaky still, and TCU gets them at home.
Wait, you're saying UNLV at home isn't a test for them?
I mean, let's be real here. You know, I mean, last year we saw what UNLV did.
These Rebels are on the rise.
That 44-14 loss, though, you know, TCU not only beats you, but they will rub it in. I mean, they knocked Omar Clayton out for the year in that game. They were roughing guys up left and right. How ugly do you think it will be? Let's get some predictions out of the way. What are you thinking next weekend down in Fort Worth? Let's put it this way: will it be uglier than the UNR game?
No, I don't think it'll be that bad. I think the best victory UNLV can come out with this one is no injuries.
They didn't have that.
I was gonna say,
year, yeah.
And Coach Sanford was talking after the game about how guys at this point are just now starting to get healthy. The last thing you want to see happen is anyone take a turn for the worse at this point, when guys are finally starting to get back to where they should be, like Beauchamp and Paulo and such. So I'm gonna go with TCU by 5 touchdowns.
I was going to say 42-7, so that's about the same. And everybody talks about those letdown games after big games. I don't think this TCU team's going to have a letdown, but The thing is, they did not let off the gas tonight against BYU. Their starters wearing all the way to the end.
Oh, that was a statement.
But that's the thing. If they get up big over the course of 2.5, 3 quarters on UNLV, they probably will let off the gas because they don't need to make any more statements, for at least until they play Utah. So I'm thinking UNLV will get a mercy score or two towards the end, and who knows what they'll do before that. But I really don't see this being within closer than 4 or 5 touchdowns.
Agreed. I think most people across the board will agree with us.
Yeah. So the lesson learned, bet TCU next weekend.
Whatever the spread is.
And however much money you got in the savings account, pull it out. Go to your local casino of choice.
Right.
Yes.
It's a good time to, you know, you want to get that mortgage taken care of. There we go.
Put the kids through college.
There we go. We got it. TCU, Horned Frogs all the way. If I was Lee Corso, I'd be putting the head on right now. But not making inappropriate comments on national television. Anyway.
Which we don't need to rehash on this family podcast.
No.
But before we get out of here, Christine, the biggest thing UNLV takes away from tonight's game?
Honestly, this swagger, mm-hmm. as another good friend of ours would say. I mean, you just, again, like, I mean, we've talked about it. Yeah, it's New Mexico. You just want that win. It's a win. And they can walk a little taller now. It's just, you know, you got the weight off the shoulders of all the pressure of everything. And, I mean, yeah, it's all going to come back right next week, but you got
to
win.
But it's better to be going down to Amon G. Carter Stadium in Fort Worth on a high rather than limping in.
Agreed.
So I'm going to agree with you there. They needed a win going into that game just to, because, you know, if you're going to get deflated by TCU, you'd rather it happen when you're high up instead of when you're already on the ground. Yeah,
he doesn't need to be taking you down any more notches.
No. So, for Christine Killamara, this is Ryan Green. For all your UNLV coverage, including Christine's video from the New Mexico game.
And all of Ryan's stories.
Stats, photos, all that junk. You, Las Vegas Sun, it's late. LasVegasSun.com.
We don't even need to tell you, because you should already know, is basically the moral of the story with that one.
/Rebels.
/Rebels.
Exactly. For Christine Killamara, this is Ryan Green.
Toodaloo!